The enhanced screening, it makes sense as one part of a much bigger program where we go out and tackle it in Africa and try to stop the spread. On its own, it wouldn't make very much sense.
So what's the point?
The point is to reassure people so that people can see that the government is actually out there and checking and trying. Sometimes just trying and showing goodwill is enough to really make people happy.
What's your understanding? What's the devil in the detail of this enhanced screening? How would it work?
As I understand it, it'll be a questionnaire, and if they decide that you've come from a part of Africa that might have Ebola, then they would take your temperature and go from there. If you happen to have a flu or something, and it is coming up to flu season, presumably they'd want to come back and check up on you after a couple of days, find out if the flu went away, or if you started having some of the other symptoms that could mean Ebola, at which point they'd probably quarantine you.
Repeatedly, we've been told that unless a person is showing symptoms, they really are not contagious. And if they are not contagious, then it's hard for even an enhanced screening process to pick up any worrying signals.
Which is true. The only way you can actually reliably diagnose Ebola is with blood tests. And you'd want to take those blood tests again and again over a period of a couple of days to really make sure that it was the virus there. But I think on your other point about being symptomatic and spreading the virus, so Ebola is a rare virus, and everything that we know about it is based on a small number of cases. It may be that somewhere out there in the world, something different could happen. But based on what we know, it doesn't spread unless you have symptoms. And the evidence for that is that if you look at the last two cases that happened outside of West Africa, in Spain and in Texas, they were both nurses who were dealing with the patients right at the last stages of life, when they were in the most distress, when they had the worst symptoms. All the people that checked them into the hospital, that they rode with to the hospital in the bus or the car, so far haven't come down with the virus. So that's very reassuring to me.
I think a lot of the concern has been with people who could go into a country undetected only to begin to show symptoms days after they have arrived, as in the examples you've cited, especially in Dallas. Then people begin to ask the question, what difference really will the screening process make if people are going to come in, not show symptoms, only to begin to become contagious later?
And that's true. The screening wouldn't have caught the man coming into Dallas. It would have picked up the man going into Nigeria, but then they recognized that he had Ebola because he basically couldn't stand up. He was obviously in great distress. And so there were already protocols in place to call medics in that case.
What about somebody who's traveled in from an epicenter and lies about where they've come from, their travel history?
Absolutely. There's no way that the screening would pick that up unless they start taking everyone's temperature and assuming we've all come in from the hot zone, essentially. There are a lot of ways around this. You could even conceivably take an aspirin, you know, like most people do when they start to get a temperature. And if it reduces the fever enough, then you would potentially pass undetected.
Is there any way around this? Perhaps some measures airlines should be taking, port health officials should be implementing at the point of origin before they fly out?
And they are taking those measures already. So there are temperature checks and health checks at the airports in West Africa for people who are coming out. Now, as I understand, they haven't caught anyone with Ebola yet, but they have kept a few people with high temperatures who looked sick from getting on planes. And so in that sense, the screening at the other end is working.